Hello, this is Susanna Greenberg, host of Book Buzz, and today we will be interviewing Marion Seaborg, the author of Gap Year Girl, a baby boomer adventure across 21 countries. Marion is a writer, a world traveler, a teacher, and a Francophile. Her book has gotten wonderful reviews, including Publishers Weekly has said, Boer steps outside her comfort zone and explores the world, and she vividly conveys her experiences, such as when she describes the chaotic streets of Morocco and the loneliness of the bucolic French village Saint-Cirq-la-Popie. That's Publishers Weekly. I want to welcome you today. How are you today, Marion?
I'm just fine, thanks. And how are you?
I'm terrific, and I'm so delighted that you're here. Sounds like a fabulous book. I've just begun it, and I'm enjoying it so much. Tell us a little bit about your book, Gap Year Girl. What's it about, and how you came to write this book?
Well, it's about the trip that my husband and I took as 55-year-olds. We decided to take a senior year abroad, and we had been planning it for at least 25 years, but we quit our job, sold the car, sold our house, and just packed up a couple of duffel bags and went off to Europe to travel for a year. And we had a sort of an outline of what we would do, but nothing, not too much was written in stone. And so we just kind of followed where we wanted to go. And I started by writing a blog because all my friends back home wanted to know where we were and what we were doing, not to mention our children wanting to know where we were. So I started as a blog, and then as I kept going along, so many people encouraged me to turn it into a book, and so I did. I wrote the manuscript when we got home from our year away.
Fantastic. It must have been quite a set of adjustments to make to kind of clear the decks before you departed. How did you manage to make all the adjustments you needed to do before taking off?
Well, again, like I said, we had planned it for 25 years. So it's not like about a year before we said, oh, let's do this, and then we kind of had to scramble. We always knew that once our children were through college and we were done paying tuition, that, you know, it was going to be time for us to do a trip. And so, you know, we had to have faith when we quit our jobs that when we came back we could get new ones. And we were, you know, we had a couple of degrees each, and we had some good experience under our belts, so we were pretty confident about that. So, again, we just quit our jobs. It was a long process of either giving away or selling all of just about all of our worldly possessions, our furniture, our car, everything. So we did that, and then we sold our house. So we needed some of those proceeds from the house to be able to take the trip.
Okay.
And we were just very lucky in that we would not have left if both of our children weren't nicely situated and had solid jobs, and all of our parents were in good health, thank God. So that allowed us to leave as well. The stars were aligned. So
it sounds like it. That's a lot of changes, but you planned it and all was in order. And you write of your two grown children and heading off for gap year without them. How did you deal with leaving them behind?
You know, that was very hard. That was the hardest thing, really. Quitting the job, selling the house, all that stuff was easy. But leaving the kids behind an ocean away, and they were both on the West Coast, so it was, you know, a long way away from Europe. that was the most difficult thing. However, we did have them come over twice to visit us. We left in September. They came over in December for 2 weeks, and then they came over again in April. So that made it much easier, and I'm not sure we could have been away for an entire year without, you know, actually seeing them and having them with us. But again, they were grown up, they were employed, they were building their own lives, so it was time for us to move on as well. And I guess, you know, the other thing I'll just say is just with modern technology, we had we were able to email them, of course, and then at least once a week for about an hour each time we would, FaceTime or Skype with them. So we would actually see them and they would see us. That made things so much easier to actually see them.
Oh, yes, thank goodness for modern technology, FaceTime.
Right.
That must have helped quite a bit. Now tell us about the travels. You're a self-described Francophile, and you made a career change to become a French teacher. Was France the top of your list, the highlight of the 21 countries that you went to?
It will always be my favorite. It will always be my favorite and some of the best things that we did and things that we saw were in France. However, it's hard for me to just say that it was the highlight because we've been to France many times before. But some of the more highlights were places that we'd never been before that we absolutely loved. And, like, we'd been to Greece before, but there were a couple of islands we visited, coasts and roads that we'd never been to before. So those are always exciting when you've never been to a place before. We'd never been to Turkey before, and that was just fascinating. We went to Morocco. Our time there was a little bit more difficult. The culture shock was even more severe than I had expected. And we went to Portugal. We'd never been there. So we went to several places, many places that we'd never been. But we always keep coming back to France. We started our trip there with a month in Paris, then about a month in the countryside. We came back in April because we both ran the Paris Marathon. So we came back there for a week, and then we spent our final week of our year back in Paris. So, and we spent a whole month. Our last month was down in Provence, which is pretty much my second favorite place to Paris in France.
Lovely. You must have eaten and drank well, right?
We absolutely did, which is why we decided to run the marathon. I'm not a runner. My husband is, but I'm not. And we just knew we needed to have a regular exercise scheduled if we were going to still fit in our clothes with all the eating and drinking we were doing. So that was kind of a practical decision. Yes.
And the counterbalancing any health effects of the wonderful indulgences I'm sure you must have had there. Good you didn't have to miss out on that, and you got to enjoy being in a marathon, too.
Yes. Well, the food and the drink of a place are so much part of their culture that we did not want to miss out on anything there.
No, it's no time to diet or be abstemious.
No.
When you're in Provence.
No. Not the right time.
Were there other places you'd like to mention that were among your favorites?
We did what's called the Tour de Mont Blanc. We're, as you can tell, we're pretty active people, and I love to hike. We did a week-long hike around Mont Blanc, and so we went through, started in France, ended in France, but then we went through Switzerland and Italy to go all the way around that mountain, that peak, and so that was a huge highlight. Another one was Slovenia, which we went to, one of the newer countries that was just beautiful and green, and the people were friendly and just lovely. We went to a place called Lake Bled, and we went to Lipica, which is where they raise the Lipizzan horses for the Spanish riding school. So another place was Sicily. We'd never been to Sicily before and absolutely loved it. There are so many wonderful Greek ruins on Sicily, and I'm a huge ancient Greece fan as well. Greece is probably my second favorite country to France. And so we loved seeing all the Greek ruins on Sicily. So that's another. But Malta, we went to Malta. That was sort of a last-minute decision. We had no plans to go there and then saw how close it was, and we went. And that was just fascinating with all its history and all the people who have, civilizations who have settled there and conquered it and, reconquered it, including, back to biblical times and all, with St. John having supposedly, stopped there. And so that was another fascinating place.
Sounds it. And are you still traveling and writing about your travels?
I am. I do a travel blog for the Huffington Post, which I post to maybe once a month or so. My husband and I are doing a two-week camping and hiking trip across Corsica this summer that I've started to write a book on that in terms of all the preparation that we have for that. And, you know, I'll continue to write it as that hike unfolds. But, yes, I'm definitely continuing to write about where we travel.
Marvelous. And another book as well, did you say?
Yes, yes. Yes, and you know, writing sort of came to me as a later in life creative outlet. I've always written all my life for business and all, but never really just for myself or for pleasure. And so I found this in describing our trip, and I just loved it. And now I feel like it's a companion. You know, it's my later in life companion. I'm never looking for something to do. If I have my computer nearby where I can just start writing or continue writing something I'm working on. So it's been a great pleasure to do that.
So many new chapters, as it were, becoming a traveler and a writer,
yes.
And as a boomer, I think you might inspire other boomers to realize that there's still time for great adventure and change in later life as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. You know, I've often said there are so many people who at certain ages, whatever that age is for them, they kind of think adventure is over for them, you know, and they avoid it at all costs, you know, adventure, oh, no, don't want to do that because that means I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, if there's a message to my book at all, it's that you can find adventure at any age. You just have to go out and seek it and be ready for, you know, the unknown and the unexpected. So I didn't want that to end in our 20s.
Well, that's a great message for your readers and for people listening to this interview. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your future plans before we wrap up, Marianne?
Traveling is definitely going to be part of our life for a very long time. We're going to retire soon, and I think we're going to be kind of nomads for a while with no place. We don't own any place, and we're just going to get as much travel in independent adventure travel as we can as long as our bodies will allow us.
Very good. All right, I want to encourage listeners of this interview to be inspired and to read Marianne Seabor's book. And again, the book is called Gap Year Girl, A Baby Boomer Adventure Across 21 Countries, and it's available online booksellers and bookstores nationwide. You can learn more about it at Marianne's website, marianneseabor.com. You can find her on Facebook. And again, the book is Gap Year Girl, A Baby Boomer Adventure Across 21 Countries. And we've been speaking with the author, Marianne Seabor. And I want to thank you for being here today, Marianne. It's an inspiring and wonderful book. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Susanna. I appreciate it.
Okay, so long, and happy reading for those of you going out and getting Marianne's book. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.